time for more movie thoughts, reviews, and royal commentary from Richard Fitzwilliams and Natasha Wanton on the Midweek Drive.
Maxwell Wins is a true story about the worst soccer team in the world, American Samoa.
I can honestly say it's the worst bunch of players I've ever come across.
All I want is just one goal. One goal.
I went into this not knowing anything about soccer, and by the end of the film, I knew less. It's a story about triumph over adversity. That's really the thing that attracted me to this.
Soccer's not in their DNA. They're weak. They are not weak.
Jump! Jump!
Stop. You go around.
This is the ultimate feel-good underdog film. it's fun, it's uplifting, and it's about hope.
We've worked too long and hard for this.
Are you with me, my team?
Coach, no, my ankle is hurting.
Interesting. Natasha Wanton wished to do a review on Next Goal Wins, and she hasn't managed to connect from Australia. I don't know. Mind you, it was a pretty good movie after all is said and done. I'm not sure whether Richard Fitzwilliams will have actually taken the opportunity to check out this particular Disney Plus incarnation of the tale of the American Samoa football team or soccer team who once actually went down 31-0 to Australia, or 31-0. This is not the story of the 31-0 reversal. It's the discovery of their redemption and their path to enlightenment once again, with Michael Fassbender portraying the coach who effectively is charged with responsibility of picking them up. I don't know, Fia van den Boga, did you actually manage to see in any way, shape or form the joys of Next Goal Wins?
I mean, yeah, I still need to watch it. But I mean, I saw the trailer this morning and I mean, it seems like a very fun film to watch. I mean, just if I'm going to 31-0 and then like having quite a good coach and it seems like a great story. And also that it's like kind of true. It's based on reality.
It is pretty much based on a true story, apart from the fact that the coach didn't necessarily have the alcoholic problem that Michael Fassbender portrays him as having, nor indeed the relationship difficulty that Fassbender portrays Thomas Rongen as having. And of course, Thomas Rongen, born in the Netherlands, so undoubtedly, Fia, you would have a bond from that point of view because it's one of your own country people who'd be involved with Next Goal Wins.
Okay, well, now I definitely have to watch it, of course.
Marin Hobson, have you actually accessed the joys of Next Goal Wins?
I have been unable to this week. I've been a bit stuck catching up with all my assessments, but I have looked at clips of it a while back and it does seem very funny, and it's Taika Waititi and he's always funny. So
exactly. Especially the kind of ending when he attempts to walk on water. But let's not go there because that might be defined as a spoiler.
Will that also happen in this film?
Well, all sorts of things happen. Although, curiously, they actually shot it in Oahu, Hawaii, rather than actually in American Samoa. Interesting, but there we are.
What?
That's location work. Victoria Simmons, Next Goal Wins. One for yourself, or is it a case of, don't be silly, my father supports Watford. What would I be doing watching a movie about American Samoa?
Well, first of all, I really don't care for Watford the way he does. And, well, if it's got men from Samoa playing sports, then I'm quite happy to watch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you say men from Samoa, obviously one of the main characters is actually a transgendered individual, but let's not go there because it's a whole new fascinating world of football. You see, Richard, I mean, just from that description alone, I'm sure you must be tempted to actually turn around and say, yeah, I'm going to actually have to do this because, after all, if I can deal with sport and Zendaya and actually address other sort of aspects relating to Zendaya, clearly the challenge would be, how do we actually cope with sexual shenanigans and a tennis coach at the same time? Richard, share with us challenges. What's going on?
This Friday, one of the sexiest movies ever made arrives.
Mommy, come tuck you in.
Critics are calling Challengers fierce, electrifying, and deliriously enjoyable.
So, how often does this happen? Going after the same girl?
This is Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
I want you to be my coach.
Luca Guadagnino's Challengers is nothing short of miraculous.
I'm taking such good care of my little white boys.
It's an utterly magical experience.
Decimate that little bitch.
Zendaya mesmerizes like nothing she's previously done.
You're not a member of my fan club?
It will leave you breathless. Do not miss this movie. Challengers.
Good night.
What's going on, Alex, is a truly fantastic sports movie. That's what's going on. And indeed, this is great fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but my goodness me, Luca Guadagnino of Call Me By Your Name fame certainly knows how to make a, well, I'd say unique sports movie, because it invents a new visual language whereby we, or certainly I, appreciated, say, a tennis match. I used to go to Wimbledon quite a lot, though it was a long time ago, much better. And what is quite extraordinary in Challengers is the way it's shot, the way it's edited, is the music, but also is the fun and games, I use the word advisedly, between the three characters. Firstly, 2006. We meet the high schoolers and childhood sweethearts. Patrick Zweig, played by Josh O'Connor, remember him as Prince Charles in The Crown, and also Art Donaldson, played by Mike Paste. Well, they're best buddies. And then they're in a doubles title at the US Open, and they watch Tashi Duncan, played by Zendaya, who makes tennis seem like a sort of super sexy dance. It's remarkably well done, and they're both absolutely smitten. They meet afterwards at a party, they click, and they don't expect that she's going to come there sharing a room and have a bit of fun with them, but indeed she does. This is one of the most entertaining threesome scenes I've ever seen. No more spoilers, and Alex, I'm sure you would be the last
Richard,
person.
I've never really seen any entertaining threesome scenes, to be honest, so I'll just leave it there, really.
Yes, this is but you're looking at parts of it, and it develops from there. That's all I'll say. However, they're going to play each other the next day, and Zendaya's character, Tashi, is going to give her phone number to whoever wins. Well, Patrick wins, and he later signals to Art that he had sex with Tashi. So it's rivalry. The gloves are off. And what happens subsequently is the fact that, well, she can't leave one or the other one alone. I mean, one of the aspects of this movie that works is that you're watching it within flashback. You're seeing a match being played literally to the death between these two, which is being, as it were, we see clips right throughout this film, and then we spool back to different eras. And in those different eras, different characters are interacting with a much loved one, or desired one, should I say. What is interesting is the way it's handled, also Zendaya's magical performance, and also the fact that Patrick, watching Josh O'Connor, he has a wry smile, and that smile is supercilious, it's superior, and it's enough to rile anybody, including Art, his one-time best buddy, who, well, they're always working against each other when it comes to Tashi.
Change, change, change you.
So, but the facts are that Tashi marries Art, they have a child, but you're watching and the handling, the editing, the music, the rivalry is ramped up by the music. And then what you're watching is a tennis match that gets ever fiercer, if indeed it could from the first scene, and indeed it can. The ball literally comes at you. There's an immediacy in this movie, and there's a lot of fun in this movie. It's often dramatic, it's super sexy, it's most entertaining. And, I mean, who does Tashi choose and when and under what circumstances? After all, it so happens that although she's married to Art, he's starting to give up. He's not the ambitious tennis character, contestant that he once was. She has a dreadful injury. She has to give up her game. But nonetheless, that means she's got to coach someone, doesn't it? And who would that happen to be? And what if Art happens to be too weary, too world-weary? Could there be Patrick hanging
probably
around?
Too exhausted with all the threesomes, Richard, to be honest.
I mean, that can happen, Alex. It can indeed. Or it could be a tantalizing scene, which is actually very funny. There's plenty of fun in this movie. It's extremely colorful. The script is very entertaining. I couldn't praise it enough, quite honestly.
Mm. Obviously, William Coles will actually be a linesman at Wimbledon this year, so we'll just have to ask him to keep his weather eye out with his romantic novelist a hat on. Fia van den Bogart, is this one for your good self, or is it a case of, no, I much preferred Kirsten Dunst when she was actually at Wimbledon?
No, I love this film. I've already watched it, and I mean, it's chef's kiss. It's so good, and just... I usually really never really watch tennis, but I was at the edge of my seat at the end of this film, and I couldn't really handle it anymore. And the way the movie was put together, it's so clever, and all the references to the beginning of the film, it's so good. I mean, everyone has to watch this one. I mean, and I watched it because it was like, oh, it's Zendaya, but now I'm just like, this is a great film, and
You'd agree, Zendaya's really headed for the heights, isn't she?
Yes, definitely. And also because, I mean, all of her roles, because this is like her first film where she's like in the lead, and it's just, she's done it so well. And it's not necessarily a role that has a very positive, she's not really a hero. And she just did it. And then, wow, really, I'm blown away by her. Wow.
and the Desire, two excellent performances, I must add, by Joshua Connor, who I was not impressed with when playing Prince Charles. Dominic West did it much better, and Mike Face is also, he's marvellous. He's also superior, but where does that get him or not? Wonderful.
He's different in this film, I have to say. I mean, I liked him as Charles, but I mean, in this, he's just a completely different person.
Very, very good. It's also the interplay between these characters. And there's plenty of nudity, I would add, male nudity, just in case anyone wonders. Testosterone-fueled is the word, Alex.
It's a bit like being at the centre net at Wimbledon whilst we're getting a bounce back between Fear and Richard. I would simply say, clearly, they're both going for 10 out of 10 on this particular one. But Victoria Simmons, you're actually performing in Wimbledon again. Any thoughts from your own perspective? I mean, hopefully Richard will come and see you actually in the Hand and Racket.
Yes, the Hand and Racket. Well, I'll be there on the 18th, but I'm also there during Wimbledon, fingers semi-crossed on the 6th. So I might actually get to see a little bit of the outside of Wimbledon, but I actually do enjoy watching a lot of tennis. So I think this might quite be interesting. And the fact that Fierce goes so strongly on this definitely makes me want to watch it even more.
Yeah, I mean, I would add any spare dementias, any tickets that anyone has, gratefully accepted. I used to have two sources, but that was a long time ago. It so happened, funnily enough, that my stepmother used to have a timeshare in Jamaica with Fred Perry. Alex, you will know the name.
Oh, Fred and I, we go back so much to the original time, basically. I mean, all his designs, etc. It's great. I also have two sources. Usually it's brown and tomato, but there we are. In terms of the sequence, let's motor on to Natasha Wanton. Is Challengers something which you think, yeah, nothing to do with Challengers of the Unknown, but this is something which appeals to me? After all, it's got tennis in it.
This is one that's been on my radar for quite some time, since they started sort of teasing little scenes. And even from those initial teasers, it looked electric. Like, the chemistry between the three of them looked brilliant. And just listening to Thea and Richard speak about it just then just cemented my will to definitely watch this movie. I will confess, I'm not the biggest fan of tennis. I don't understand a lot of the rules, but I don't think I probably need that to appreciate the beauty and tension in this movie. So definitely a thumbs up from me.
Okay, Marin Hobson, from the joys of a hardworking journalism student at the University of Lincoln. What are your thoughts on this? Is this one that you think, yeah, okay, what the hey, I'll persuade this when I'm not surprising my grandmother to come and see with me? Or could it shock her?
I don't know if my gran would like it, but I really want to watch this film. I've tried to get my friends to come with me, but none of them have said yes yet. But I'm really excited about it. I love Zendaya and everything she does, and I cannot play tennis for the life of me, and I don't watch tennis, but this film really excites me and I really want to watch it.
You won't be disappointed, do believe me. The scenes between them and between them all, and indeed the twists and the turns in it, are wonderful.
Well, somebody who's also based in Wimbledon, who's just joined us now and probably will have our own strong views with respect to whether threesomes or indeed Zendaya or indeed tennis movies are indeed worth watching, is Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, is Challengers likely to be one that you'll be looking to seek out in the near future?
Well, yes, because I'm a Wimbledon girl, you see. So I, out of curiosity, I would watch. Yes, definitely.
So allowing for that, Sarah, I can actually on air hold you to the facts that you will be bringing the entire Huntley Britain household over to the Hand and Racket on the 18th of May, Victoria? 18th of May to see Victoria Simmons actually perform at the Hand and Racket in Wimbledon. You will be there.
Come on, this is now very big pressure.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. 18th of May, now the viewers aren't interested in it. What day of the week is that?
Saturday, I think. Yes.
Oh, I'm just looking.
Lots of people have things on already on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Because I'll be hosting Lander exams all day. So what a nice thing to go and listen to some lovely music in the evening.
Exactly. And we'll get Graham Harper along as well. Anyway, yes. moving on On from thence, as Natasha Wanton has indeed arrived, obviously working on the premise of actually just deciding to turn up like some kind of transgendered individual for American Samoa. Not that she is, of course, but, you know, just saying from that point of view, we can indeed return to the notion of Next Girl Wins, which, for what it's worth, I'd probably give a 7 out of 10 for. Would you like to actually outline this particular movie, which you teased us with last week and said it's more than just how a team recovers from losing 31-0 in a qualifying game of football?
Yes. Football or soccer, depending on where in the world you are listening to this. But yes, it's all about the wonderful game. This is a American sports comedy drama film. It sort of premiered at Toronto International Film Festival back in September 2023. And then it sort of got released late November last year. It was one that was on my radar for a while, and I really wanted to see it in the cinema. Unfortunately, because of everything that was going on at the time, I didn't get a chance to see it. So as soon as it came onto Disney Plus, I did hop on there and have a look. It's based on a 2014 documentary of the same name. And that was by Mike Brett and Steve Jamieson. And it's basically surrounding the story of a Dutch-American coach. This is a true life story, which, as Alex points out, back in 2001, American Samoa unfortunately got beaten 31-0 by Australia.
I felt sorry for the goalkeeper, but at least he redeems himself.
Well, we will see, won't we? So yeah, it's the worst loss in international football history. So for those of you who don't know much about football or soccer, you get a point every time you get a goal in the back of the net. So Australia got it in 31 times, which is not great. So they've sort of been dogged by the defeat ever since and are a bit of a laughing stock for American Samoa. And they're wanting to qualify for the 2014 FIFA World Cup. And it's needless to say that they could do with a bit of help because they're...
they just have to score a goal, just a single goal. That's
exactly
all they're praying for.
Just one goal is the mantra all the way through. One goal, that's all they need. But they, unfortunately, no matter what they seem to do, they can't get it in the back of the net, and they just continue to lose. So
like a Zendaya threesome, isn't it, really? Never mind.
I haven't had the pleasure yet. Mm. But to help them turn their luck around, the Football Federation send American Samoa a sort of a lifeline in the form of Dutch-born American-based coach Thomas Rongen, and he's a former player, and he's then started coaching. Now recently, the last couple of years, he's been a little bit down on his luck, and unfortunately he gets fired from his fancy American job and gets shipped out without much of a choice to American Samoa. He's not very happy about it. He's quite vocal about his unhappiness about it, actually, to be with, in the sort of wonderful vibrant language that sort of flows from him in hearing that he doesn't really have much of a choice in the decision and everything that happened since. I will give people a heads up, if you're wanting to watch this with children, there is a lot of colorful language throughout this movie, a lot of strong language throughout this movie, so maybe think about that depending on which audience you watch it with. So basically he has 3 weeks to turn around this team. And he takes one look at them and he's not really very impressed when he first sees them. They're all a bit of a ragtag bunch. They do look a lot
worse in this film than they did in the documentary, it has to be said. In the documentary, they look vaguely like footballers. Here, very few of them look remotely like any footballer whatsoever.
Yes, I think Taika Waititi has used a bit of creative license in some of the casting of some of these decisions. but as... you know what? Thomas Rongen does his best. He's reluctant, very reluctant to start with.
He takes them up to the top of the mountain and has a heart attack by him, almost there by himself.
Alex, he gets them up there. That's the important thing. They do a lot of team building. It's fair to say that a lot of these men don't really have a lot of belief. I mean, coming off of a 31-0 sort of loss, you don't really have a lot of belief in yourself, and the community doesn't really have a lot of faith in them.
The fragility of the male ego.
So it's sort of a lot about building up that confidence. But I think the underlying theme of this movie is also building up Thomas Rongen as well, and how he can sort of build himself back up from past life events. I won't give spoilers as to what happens.
Thomas Rongen as himself in the documentary also sounds a lot more like Thomas Rongen than Michael Fassbender does.
I like Michael Fassbender's attempts. I thought he had a lot of fun, clearly, when he was making this movie, and you could tell that he was enjoying himself when he was making this movie. I liked his performance. I think that it's all pretty cookie cutter in that you can probably see how it's going to go from start to finish in a lot of aspects. It follows a sort of similar formula. It sort of maybe almost lost me a little bit in the middle. I sort of, my attention started to wander a little bit, but I would say it definitely pulled me back for the last 20 minutes. That was probably my favorite part of the movie, when it kind of got to the more kind of the heart of the movie. There is a lot of hope and joy about it. Even with a lot of the cliches and the cheesiness, it is a comedy movie. I would say some of it's a lot more cringy than it is comedy. There's a couple of times where you sort of wince a little bit at some of the jokes. It's very Taika Waititi. So if you like his style of humor, then you would probably
Are you saying, Natasha, that actually seeing people threatening each other by going, it's not a good thing?
I mean, there's cultural representation within there as well. There's a little bit of cultural representation about American Samoa in there, which I don't actually know. I didn't know that much about going into watching it, compared to someone who probably is from there or is familiar with the culture. They might be able to comment more about the realisticness of that compared to myself.
If you like the hackers, you love this movie.
I thought it was a good piece of fun. It left me in a good mood. It had a lot of heart, and I liked the idea of it being based on a true story. I thought it was quite quirky. I'm not the biggest fan of soccer, and I don't know very much about it, but I did. I really enjoyed the personalities and the way that they mixed, and yeah, just the hope and the heart in it. I would give it a 6. It's not the most revolutionary in terms of it follows a very set formula, and it is at times cringy. But overall, it pulled me back, and it was good fun.
And you said last week it was going to be a feel-good movie to make us feel happy and joyous and joyful. Sarah Huntley
movie. Everyone's been asking about having a feel-good movie on the show, so I was like, I'll do a feel-good movie this week. Yeah.
So, Sarah, is Next Girl Wins one for you?
Well, yes, it is, actually, because I've been dealing a lot in the last month with people not passing exams or not going quite the way.
The drama equivalent of losing 31-0. It can be disaster.
Well, yes. Yes, in some cases. So I'm a great one if at first you don't succeed. And
give
inch
up.
By inch, life's a cinch. Yard by yard, life is hard. So I love The Hacker, you see. And I do a voice warm-up, which is similar to The Hacker. And I think whatever you've got to go and enter to go and do, if you do The Hacker, my goodness me, does it get you there. So my hacker is, if I go, and I know that's, if I go hula hula, everybody else goes venga venga, but then I change it with my voice. So when you're channeling those noise, see, I can tell I'm on speed at the moment.
You've gone Brooklyn or Sarah. It's the noise.
Yeah, no.
The
so
noise
you go,
to do it, my girl.
Venga, and then they'll go hula, and they can go really high, really low. And by doing that, you feel you can. We've had some marvelous results. We've had some wonderful things, people going to RADA, all sorts, but there's been some kind of unusual twists. So I would like to watch it to see them do The Hacker, because I feel if you do The Hacker, you can take on anything. So yeah, I would like to watch this. Yes.
Victoria Simmons, will you be incorporating The Hacker as a pre-warm-up schedule for your performances in Wimbledon and beyond?
Well, I feel like I should try it now. I have a different one because my school was in France. So we do Roma, Milano, Firenze, Valencia, Roma, Milan, Firenze, Valencia, and you have to do it in your scales. So.
Sounds much more romantic, Victoria, than...
You will
be quite seductive when hula hula you can go... Hula, hula, venga, venga. You see, you just manipulate it around to try and get the voice to do different things.
Mm. I can see Richard's feeling a bit uncomfortable now, but it's all right. No worry. All will work out okay in the end. Fear.
I am not at all uncomfortable, Alex. In fact, I was in my element describing that threesome, which I didn't completely, you know, into every single detail.
Eye-watering. Has that changed your mind, Fia, in terms of Next Girl Wins? I mean, obviously you were ahead of it because we have a Dutch-born character at the heart of the whole thing.
I mean, no, I need to watch it. I mean, if it's a feel-good film, I have to watch. And it's a Dutch-American coach, so I have to watch it. I mean, and it seems like a fun film. I mean, it's just a film that you can just relax and just watch.
And as you've come back from Germany, which is not a place of fun, doubtless it's been a case of, you know, we just have to carry on with that whole sort of things. By the way, how was Germany?
Germany is a lot of fun. I visited some friends, and it's always good to be in Germany. The weather is always nicer there, so. Yeah.
Strange. There are many people from the Netherlands who probably would have said that's the last thing they wanted to go to. It's always good for Germany, or perhaps for Germany to come into the Netherlands. Anyway, let's not talk about the war, because we'll be into Fawlty Towers all over again. Meryn, Next Girl Wins for you?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be one of them that I put on when I don't know what else to watch, when it's the thing where you just need to have a happy film to watch. But yeah, it does sound good. And as I said, Taika Waititi's always funny, so that's always a bonus. So yeah, I might put it to my flatmates to say we'll watch that tonight.
Well, to bring the whole buzzkill further forward, let's go to Kidnapped. Nothing to do with Robert Louis Stevenson, but a totally different movie. Gathering, I believe, issues relating to whether you happen to be Jewish, whether you happen to be Catholic. What's it all about, Richard? Or have we again got the wrong movie? Is there a different kind of Kidnapped that you're involved with here? Or is it just a case of, well, it's got nothing to do with Bonnie, Prince Charlie or Scotland?
Well, yes, Alex, I have to say, it opened my eyes to, I mean, I have to be frank with everybody. When you're baptized, I have to say, I thought baptism was done by a priest. At least that was my, I had no reason.
It doesn't have to be. It hasn't always been the case. John the Baptist, for instance, started the whole procedure off. And he was only, as I say, in essence, a member of the ordinary public working as a priest by divine inspiration.
Well, yes, but there was the divine inspiration. I wasn't aware that anybody could...
In extremis, if you want to actually save a soul, Richard, these things are permissible.
Well, this is at the heart of this movie, Alex, because the person who does conduct the baptism thinks a very young child, Edgardo Montara, who happens to be Jewish. This is the point that becomes, well, of course, celeb. She believes that she works there as a maid, and she believes that he is... dying and would go in, his soul would go into limbo because he's Jewish. So she apparently, as the film later makes clear, administers this secret baptism. Now, this is set in 1851. It's set in Bologna, which then was under the authority of the Pope and part of the so-called Papal States. This is just pre-Garibaldi. And the revolution.
Not the biscuit leader, but by the way. The biscuit was named after the revolutionary leader. Just want to make that quite clear before we get into problems about theological aspects of Jewish Christian sort of lines, because this could take us off on a whole new area.
Well, yes, indeed it will, because what happens is that the maid tells the head of the Bologna office of the Holy Inquisition about this baptism. This would have made the child, in their eyes, irrevocably Christian. The law forbids Christians to be raised by non-Christians. So Pierre Faletti decides to remove the child from the parents and take him forcibly, with the Pope's authority behind it, to Rome, where he'd enrolled in a school for children of converted Jews. I mean, this is an unbelievable story. So his parents, Momolo and Mariana, have no say in the matter. They appeal internationally, they do their utmost. The problem is that in the Vatican, you have a ferocious conservative pope. played by Paolo Biermann, quite my favourite villain. I mean, he really is absolutely monstrous. And if you want a really good villain, somebody you wish to hiss on.
We've had an awful lot of very exceptional popes in the church, Richard, over the years. I could go back to the Borgias as a case in point, basically, but so it goes.
Well, the Borgias, they were colourful and they, you know, they enjoyed themselves a few deaths.
They like their threesomes, let's face it.
Well, yes, I mean, in Italy, under the Borgias, there were 30 years of warfare, murder, terror. What did it produce? Yes. The facts here are that the Pope, angered at international condemnation and all the interest in Edgardo and the kidnapping, which is what it is, hence the movie's title, he's making a show of strength. He's doing what he believes.
It's a matter of principle, Richard. Principle.
It becomes a matter of principle, but also he's viciously anti-Semitic. So there's a scene here where the Jewish leaders come and protest about this kidnapping. And he reminds them pretty forcibly that there was a ghetto in Rome not that long ago, and, well, they have to kiss the papal foot. It's an unbelievable situation. It was a true story, and there's absolutely no doubt that the parents, they do everything they possibly can. When the revolution comes firstly to Bologna, they appeal against Folletti, who is arrested and tried, but he gets off because he's acting in accordance with the laws at that time as they were, which is the defense case. What happens in Rome? What happens to Edgardo's family, or dying to see him back? Do they see him? And if so, what is the result? And also, what happens when finally Rome falls to Garibaldi and indeed the Pope loses his temporal power? From the point of view historically, what happens also to Edgardo and how is his life changed by these absolutely extraordinary and bizarre circumstances? And I mean, you've got a series of excellent performances here throughout. In fact, the cast is most impressive. You've got two actors playing Edgardo when very young and then when a bit older. And in the Sala, when he's young, Leonardo Maltese has been an adult. As I say, I mean, Paolo Biermann, absolutely splendid as the sort of monster. I mean, the film makes fun of him in a very entertaining way, because when his one of his advisors shows him cartoons, which involve a cartoon of the Pope being circumcised. These are international cartoons mocking the Vatican. There is a scene where he has a dream when he is being circumcised.
Just as well we didn't have Charlie Hebdo on this case, otherwise we could have all sorts of problems there with respect to different faiths. But what the hey?
I rocked with laughter. No, this is a very good film. And also, in its favour, wonderful backdrops of Rome, of the Vatican, wonderful to contrast the glorious art and the Renaissance and the backgrounds of it with the behaviour of the current occupant. But also, the director, I haven't seen any of his previous films, but I do have to say Mario Bellocchio is more at ease in the personal drama than in scenes linked to the revolution. And there's one absolutely priceless scene. I don't know if anyone knows about the Holy Steps in Rome. I've never seen them. But the Pope climbs from the bottom to the top of these hundreds of steps. And indeed, looks more fresh when he gets to the top than he did when he was beginning. So all I can do is quote Harry Met Sally in the famous scene and say, I'll have what he's having, because that was a mixed
such cynicism in one so young, Richard. I can only put it down to the fact that you must be celebrating the joys that you got four or five more years of Sadiq Khan purgatory in London. Thankfully, Ben Hatchin managed to actually hold himself together with respect to the Teesside recent mayoral elections. Sarah, as you also have to suffer Sadiq for a considerable period of time. Any thoughts on this particular number, Kidnapped?
Yes, I think it's very interesting. I think what I'm fascinated by over the years, that a lot of Jewish people became converted to Catholicism throughout the centuries to be accepted. And it was almost so acceptable in some bits of Europe that people knew that people were Jewish. Do you see what I mean? And I don't think people did it the other way round, but particularly in Amsterdam.
Well, neither did Jesus, nor indeed St. Peter himself, and the rest of the whole thing progressed from that point of view. Hence, Judeo-Christian.
Yeah. So actually, the crossover is very interesting to see when that happened, and particularly at this time. So yes, I will be very interested to see it. Yeah.
I suspect he's going for a 9 for this. Natasha Wanton, is this one that you'll be checking out?
Oh, it's a juicy one from Richard. Yes, definitely. I want to see this. I want to see this yesterday. I no idea that this film existed before hearing about it from the show and watching the trailer. Richard, where can I find it? And how do I get my grubby little hands on it?
Well, all I can say is it's on in cinemas here. I haven't looked up how it would be available if it is online, but hopefully it shouldn't be too long. It is an extraordinary story.
Victoria Simmons, Extraordinary Stories, your middle name in many ways with respect to Still a Long Way to Go. Is Kidnapped something that you would consider, or is it just a case of, no, my career hasn't reached that level as yet?
I want to say that I would see it, but it's probably not one that if it came up on Netflix or something that I'd go, oh yay, I want to see that one. It's a 50-50 for me.
Fear van der Vogt, is it a 50-50 for yourself, or is it more a case of, yes, I come from a country which believes in religious tolerance or intolerance, let's go with it?
Tolerance, but no, I completely agree with Natasha. I love history films, and this seems like such a crazy story that a child was secretly baptized. Like, how does that happen? And I just,
and in secret, hence the reason. Yeah, and it's a bit like, how do you lose 31-0? Also, you know, even though the head coach didn't actually have an alcohol problem, nor indeed have a relationship problem, it was just done for the dramatization of the movie. Merrin Hobson, is this one for yourself?
I'm with Victoria on this one. It's 50-50 because I think you can't be tired when watching it. You've got to focus. So it won't be one you put on late at night. It'd have to be one that you're like in the mood for and you're ready to watch it and focus on it. So I don't know. I'd just have to depend on how I'm feeling.
And the good news is it's only a matter of days before Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes actually emerges. Surprisingly, Richard hasn't covered the Fall Guy. I'm sure he will in the fullness of time.
I shan't disappoint you, Alex, I can assure you. I'm not going to comment on it now, but I have seen it.
Of course.
I can reveal. But also, I mean, did you know that Pius IX was actually canonized by Pope John Paul?
Yes. And so it goes in terms of life, the universe, etc. Now, is that Pope John Paul I or the second? In which case, it'd be St. Pope John Paul II. But let's get our priorities spot on this one, too. Richard Fitzwilliams to Fia van der Bogart, to Natasha Wanton, to Victoria Simmons. Don't forget, performing in Wimbledon at the Hand and Racket on the 18th of May. You might also see Sarah Huntley if you're celeb spotting in the crowd. And also Merrin Hobson. Many thanks indeed. Keep watching those movies.
What a scenario without siren radio. Turn up everyone, save a siren sound.
Siren radio.
Come Lincoln to Miami, Paris to LA. Our global community wants to hear it play. Students participate. Keep on keeping up. Keep on keeping up.
Sorry.
Keep on keeping up.
Sorry.
Keep on keeping up.
Sorry.
Keep on keeping up. Say Siren Radio.
If you change your mind,
chance. On the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when the pretty bird.